الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس وقال في رواية والمهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, alhamdulillah, we are extremely fortunate in our country, the fazl and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a large amount of ulama ikram, mashaykh, and we have a lot of majalis that takes place, a lot of bayans that take place. Nearly in every area we find the ulama ikram, and programs take place. This is our extremely good fortune and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the barakat of the sacrifices of the people of the past and the barakat of the mashayikh that used to come here. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, remember the masjid? The masjid used to be filled to capacity when Hazrat Rahmatullah used to come. This is all the barakat and samarat of those pious beings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the outset, I wish to just mention one thing is this, that it seems to be a difference in the intention of the people when it comes to these majalis. What is our object and what should be our prime intention when we sit in these gatherings? That should be our personal reformation, our islah. What is dispensed by the mashayikh izam and the ulama kiram is prescriptions for our reformation, prescriptions for our spiritual upliftment, or call it recipes in the language of the woman, recipes for our reformation, our purification, our spiritual upliftment, of our rectifying ourselves, reforming ourselves. Now when you hear of a prescription or a recipe given to one from one woman to another, one person to another, you hardly find a person saying, I really enjoyed the recipe. We don't hear that. But you say, yes, I enjoyed after I applied the recipe and I cooked it. You go to a doctor and he prescribes, or he first of all diagnoses you and me and you, and then he tells us, why, this is your problem, this is the medication you should take. I haven't heard till today somebody said, Dr. Saab, I really enjoyed your diagnosis or your prescription. Similarly, you go to the, you're a businessman, you consult some business consultant, you want to improve your standard of your business, ask him about marketing, whatever, and he gives you some suggestions, recommendations. You hardly hear a person saying, why, hey, mashallah, I really enjoyed, you know, the recommendations that you give to us. But now, when it comes to our bayans, we very regularly hear, I really enjoyed the bayan. I normally tell my friends, this bayan is not for enjoyment. Enjoyment will come after we implement those things in our life. Then the enjoyment will come. Mashayikh tell us, do this, do this. Mashallah. We take that and implement it in our lives, then you will see the enjoyment. But now what happens? The enjoyment starts and ends here in the bayan. Man says, I enjoyed your bayan. The man says, it's over. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us a tawfiq to sit here with our niyat of islah. My islah, I said, I must speak with my islah, niyat of my islah, and you must also make dua for my islah, and we must make dua for your islah. We sit with this intention, inshallah, and sometimes one bayan is even sufficient. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah's bayanat should be so comprehensive. I once told one Abdul Hamid Sahab, my opinion, if somebody listens to just one bayan of Hazrat Rahmatullah properly, that will be sufficient for his islah. And he said, definitely. Hazrat Rahmatullah's bayan is to be of such a caliber, such a category. However, we are just people that take the names of this mashayikh. According to our Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, the biggest problem of the ummah, our biggest ailment of sickness and malady is guna. And this is not only his opinion, but it's derived from the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the biggest destructive force for mankind on this face is not the bombs, etc. It is guna, nafirmani, and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't have to go far. Shaitan had proved it. The very first thing that happened was his disobedience of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made him shaitan from what he was and what he became. And this example should be before us at all times. That is why our greatest enemy is shaitan. Our greatest enemy is the nafs. Our greatest enemy is that evil friend that takes us towards the disobedience of Allah, not the one that chose to take away our wealth, our life. He's not our greatest enemy. That person wants to take away from the Sirat al-Mustaqim, he's our greatest enemy. And the greatest enemy is that evil environment wherein we become, we go off the track and become disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the things that are most destructive for us. Those are the things that are most evil and harmful and detrimental to the life of every human being in this world. Not all the arms, etc. That will only take away our life. People may only take away our wealth. Allah Pak save us from hijacking, etc. But this Allah Pak save us will take away our iman. Take us away from the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take us away from all those comforts that are waiting for us, awaiting us in the hereafter in the form of Jannah, and all those ni'mat that Allah ta'ala has prepared for us. This disobedience and this nafarmani and this sin and this transgression against the law of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at the outset we should acknowledge and remember this, that our greatest enemy is the sin, the people that take us towards sin. Today, unfortunately, because we find our society is predominantly filled with sin, then we don't realize this. We don't know who are our friends and who are our enemies. We find some person is very sweet to us, but when we join his company, it takes us away from the ita'at of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, takes us away from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, takes us away from the salah, takes us away from zikrullah, takes us away from all those things that bring us close to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yet we regard him as our friend. We do everything, we sacrifice everything for him, and because he is friendly with us, not realizing that his friendship will lead to eternal disaster and doom. Allah Ta'ala spells it also clearly in the Holy Quran, that those people that are friends of each other, they will become enemies of each other on the Day of Judgment. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ, except those people who are pious, are upright and are righteous, and their friendship is based on taqwa and piety. They help each other towards doing good deeds. There's a great riwayat here of Ali radiallahu anhu mawana, Hazrat Mushri Sahib rahmatullah has mentioned, the effects of the good friendship will last right into the akhirat. This person will get into the akhirat day. I didn't want to mention this, but I mentioned in passing that a friend of his will pass away. He'll remember his friend even in Jannah. And he says, oh Allah, that friend of mine used to encourage me, should tell me, one day I will meet you. Used to encourage me to do good deeds, save me from evil deeds. Oh Allah, show him also, please him also like how you have pleased me. He'll make dua for him even in Jannah. And that person that's the evil friend, he will make bad dua for him even when he goes to Jahannam. Oh Allah, I had a friend in the dunya, he used to tell me, don't worry, carry on, enjoy this life. Nothing will happen. He should tell me, there'll never come a time when you'll meet Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today I can see the disastrous effect of his friendship. Oh Allah, let him also face this torment like I have faced it. He will make bad dua for him even in the akhirah. So this friendship is a very, very important thing. Sometimes we find because of friendship, person cannot discern between good and bad, vice and virtue. My friend is doing it, so I am doing it, and he carries on in his life. Sometimes it's because of the environment, especially in our case nowadays, the environments are so much filled up with the nafarmani and disobedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person becomes mixed up sometimes, doesn't know. He sees a person, he's reading namaz in the first saf, but he finds him perpetrating sin after sin, openly. His family, his wife, his children, his business is filled up with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet this person reads namaz in the first saf, sometimes is pavan with even his tahajjud namaz. But we find that conversely, the other side of his life is such that he does not distinguish between right and wrong, good and bad. To him, piety and neki is to read 5 times daily namaz, to make a bit of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has become now customary in some places. Person is pious, means read your namaz, give zakat, go for umrah. Your business is running on interest, your wife and children are not dressing properly, there's TV at home, etc. And many other things that against the order of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, person doesn't even bat an eyelid, feels no, that's fine, this is neki. It's mentioned that our pious predecessors about Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah mentioned, and people used to come to him, the first condition used to be, before giving somebody any wazifas, first condition used to be, make tawbah and istighfar for your previous sins. And make a firm resolve not to go back to those sins. And after doing this for a while, some wazifas used to be given. Today, unfortunately, it's become a trend, a person reads all the wazif and carries on with all the sin, thinking, alhamdulillah, everything is fine with me. Mashaykh mentioned, this is like a person who's taking medicine on one side, and together with that, he's taking a bit of poison as well. what will happen? The effect of that medicine will never come up. Why? Because the poison will destroy it. And this is the condition of that person who continues sinning, one sin after another sin after another sin, and we continue. Yet we find, alhamdulillah, we are so fortunate. So many mashayikh have come to our shores. So many mashayikh are living within us. So many majalis takes place. But yet we find, Allah Ta'ala, forgive me and us, that we find sometimes those sins just continue in our lives. They just continue in our lives, and a person doesn't realize. Yet we know that sin is that that takes us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, takes us away from the closest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, takes us away from Jannat, brings us close to Shaitan, brings us close to the evil ones, brings us close to Jahannam, and it is such that there are great effects of sin even in this dunya. Imam Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi in Jazawul A'mal has elaborated and written the details of this, that what is the effect of sin? We don't have barakat in our rozi, no barakat in our lives, and no noor in our hearts. We are not inclined towards good work, and we feel lethargic. The good deeds that are, good advices that are given to us, doesn't affect our hearts, doesn't move us. We can't distinguish and discern between good and bad because of the evil of sin. There are so many detrimental effects of sin. First one is that our hearts become rusted. A black spot comes onto our heart. We hear this hadith so often, till all our entire heart is filled with darkness and with black, and thereafter we can't distinguish between good and bad. So many things are said to us, but it's like just water going over and nothing penetrating. Similarly, we find a darkness set onto the heart, and sometimes a person becomes so immune, he does not even know he's sinning, day in and day out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and save us. We do not even know we are in darkness, in the darkness of sin. This also affects the intelligence of a person, also affects his intelligence, and it also makes a person selfish, and makes him ungrateful for the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is disobedient to Allah, on one hand, see the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, upon each one of us, whether it is his health, whether it is his wealth, whether it is his safety and security that we have, and all the other ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, too many to count, on one hand, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a few commands, on the other hand, and we don't fulfill it. Showing the height of ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how ungrateful we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the plight of the people around us, especially in this age and era. Look at our brothers and sisters in Syria. Look at what they are eating. They have nothing to eat. And look at our dasturkhans, what we have to eat. Is it because we are more afzal than them? No, it is the fazl and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has favored us and He has bestowed this ni'mat upon us. All these things, when we reflect upon it, then what happens? Reflection opens the door of realization. And realization is a stepping stone to rectitude and reformation. And this we know every day. If you are coming to Melanson Road Masjid from Isipingo, and we take a wrong turn, then we begin to reflect and think, where am I going? Not supposed to be this way. Once we reflect, we realize we are on the wrong track. And once we realize we are on the wrong track, then it's easy to take a U-turn and take another turn and come to Melanson. Same with the Akhirat. Same with the Tasawwuf also. We find the Mashayikh engage us in reflection, in muraqabah, in contemplation, in thinking, in pondering. And then when we ponder, we realize. And once we realize, then it becomes easy for us to make a U-turn in our lives. And so many incidents. We look at the lives of the pious predecessors before us. Just one incident sometime, just one sentence, sufficient to change their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it such for us, give us such open hearts, that we hear just one sentence from somebody, and it's sufficient to change our life. Fuzail bin Iyad, rahmatullahi, no time to go into the details. Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullahi, sometimes just one dream changes the entire life. Fuzail bin Iyad, just hears one ayat of the Holy Quran, changes his entire life. Before that, highway robber, robbing, and taking the wealth away from the people. But one ayat of the Holy Quran goes straight into his heart, and it changes his life. Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi, says he's sitting and he's sleeping in his Shahi Mahal, and sleeping in his castle or palace, so to say, and he hears some sounds on the roof. Who is there? One person says, I'm here. What are you doing here on the roof? Person says, I'm looking for my camel. Looking for my camel. Says, I'm looking for your camel here. Says, yes, it's possible that I can find my camel here. I lost it. But it's difficult to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sitting in the kingdom, in the palace. Hard to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sufficient to move his heart. Sufficient to bring about a revolution in his heart, and he leaves his kingdom and he goes away. He leaves the kingdom of Balkh and he goes away to search for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the wilderness. He changes his hulya, his clothing, his dressing, etc. out there looking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making sacrifices. Some say No, he was in his palace and somebody came there and told him, he asked him, what do you want? He says, no, I thought this was like a motel. Person comes here, stays for a night and goes away. Suraya, inn or a hotel or a motel. A person comes here, stays for a night and goes away. He says, no, this is my palace. Brahmin Adham Rahmatullah says, this is my palace, mera mahal hai. He says, who did it belong to before this? He said, it belonged to my nana, to my grandfather. And before that, belonged to his father. And before that, he kept on answering. This person told him so nicely and calmly, exactly as I thought. This is a motel. It's a place where people stay for a while. One stays and goes away and another one comes. Sufficient for him to make him think and reflect. And we are all in the same boat. We may not have palaces, but this belonged to my grandfather, then my father, then myself, then belonged to my son, then my grandchildren. We are all moving away. Just those few sentences were enough to move him. Says, he asked him, who are you? He went to, he said, who are you? He said, no, I am Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. Sometime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just one incident changes the person's life. Some say that he was gone on a hunting spree. And he was hunting. And while he was hunting, some say the buck stopped and told him. Some say a voice came from the unseen that, oh Ibrahim, you have not been created for this. You have not been created for this. This is not the object of your creation to go out hunting. And this went straight to the heart and changed the heart and changed his mind. And he left everything, left the entire kingdom and went to go and search for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the wilderness, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving all that pomp and glory, making him realize that the object of my life is not this. So many times we are reminded by our mashayikh, etc., that this is not the object of my life. From the morning till the evening, I'm eating and drinking and earning, eating and drinking, earning again eating and drinking. Not the object of my life, this may be the necessity. But the object of our life is to get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Shaykh Ramtul Rasul says so nicely, we must reach the maqam of, must become the awliya siddiqeen ki akhiri muntaha tak hum pahunch jaye. Subhanallah. What a high goal and aspiration Hazrat Hair Rahmatullah for all of us, that we must reach the ultimate position of the awliya siddiqeen. Right after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, we must reach there. That is our object of coming into this dunya. And for that we'll have to strive, make some effort. Like Ibrahim bin Adham left everything and went away. Long story about him, there's no time. Mentioned that some of his incidents, he mentions that he used to be by the Dajla, the Tigris, and he used to be, there was another person also there who was staying there for a long time. He came there, he was also fasting, and at the time of iftar, there should be a tray coming down of food for that person. When Ibrahim bin Adham rahimullah came, then 10 trays came down for him. 10 trays came down for him, and this person said, oh Allah, I am here for such a long time. This person has just come here now. Was told to him, first and unseen, told him that you left your faqiri and you came. You had nothing and you came here. This one meal is, one tray is sufficient for you. And this person left the badshahat. He left the kingdom and came to seek for me. My muhabbat make him left his kingdom and empire to come and seek for me. These 10 trays also are not sufficient for him. So the level of our sacrifice, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah ta'ala knows how much a person sacrifices, how much he comes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Mushahada biqadr al-Mujahada. Inshallah, a person will see things Allah Ta'ala will give him a great position in proportion to the sacrifices that he makes. Person is living luxury and pomp and glory, he comes down and he comes down to the level of an ordinary person and he strives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him from his unlimited treasure things that he could not even fathom, things that he could not even dream. Mentioned once he was sitting in the wilderness and one of his wazirs and ministers walked past and he said, thought to himself, a thought crossed his mind, what a stupid person. He left the kingdom and he's sitting here. He says, he got kashf, he took the needle that he had and he threw it into the river. And Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah says that 100,000, 1,00,000 machiyane, 100,000 fish came up with golden needles when he asked for it. And when this wazir saw this, he said, no, I want my needle. I want my iron needle that I threw in, not the golden one. Then a fish came up and gave him that. When the wazir saw this, he said, Subhanallah. He says, the fish in the sea have recognized your position, but I could not recognize your position. This is the maqam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. He has given you the kingdom on the land and kingdom on the sea as well. So, man kana lillah, kana Allahu lahu. Person becomes Allah, Allah ta'ala becomes his. Irrespective of who we are and where we come from, and what language we speak, and what color we have, you become Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes yours. This is the rule by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, there's no distinction of color, or language, or background, that you come from Gujarat, or you come from India, or you come from Pakistan, or you have a light skin or a dark skin. You become Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, and history is full of it always. Look at the life of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. Who was Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu? Where did he come from? What was his color like? He was not even an Arab. And how much he became Allah's. So much to this extent that Rasulullah s.a.w. hears his footsteps in paradise. This is all lesson for us. That the person who says La ilaha illallah, he has the potential to become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it's not permissible to look down upon any person. Why? You don't know. He may be the great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And there are so many people like that. At the end of their lives, they say something and they become the walis of Allah. All the sins are forgiven and they are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many incidents like that. So here we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes just through one incident we find life changes and a revolution comes about. And if you have the sickness of sin, obviously, then we should go to the specialists, and those are the mashayikh, and go to them and ask them to assist us. The greatest benefactors for humanity was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he wished well for the entire human race that came in this year and will come to the face of this earth till the day of judgment. He wanted all of them to enter into paradise and be saved from the fire of Jahannam. And alhamdulillah, the mashayikh, ulama kiram, the righteous and upright ulama, they are the greatest benefactors after sahaba kiram, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they also following in the same path. And they have the greatest love for a person. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you go to Madinah al-Munawwara, you see the shafa'ati li ahlul kabairi min ummati. Or kama qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my intercession will be for those people that carry out great sins in this ummah. So the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the ummah is such as even the sinners of the ummah. So here the mashayikh also, they also have great love for the people that commit sins. So when we are associated with them, then we should go to them, ask them to make dua for us, and ask them for prescriptions to stay away from sin. Once Ibrahim bin Adham rahimullah was going, and he found one person who was in a state of intoxication. And he was lying on the ground and he was frothing, etc. Ibrahim bin Adham rahimullah had a lot of mercy and love for these people, so he stopped there. He took out his shawl, took some water, and he cleansed his mouth, etc. He said, words to this effect, that this mouth is made for the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does not behove it should be contaminated with such things. Thereafter it is mentioned that Ibrahim ibn Adham rahimullah sees in a dream, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that you had cleaned his mouth for me, I have cleaned his heart for you. I have cleansed his heart for you. You showed this tawajjuh upon him and concern for him, I have cleansed and purified his heart. After this person was informed that this is what happened, he went to Ibrahim ibn Adham rahimullah and he made tawbah and he also became a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the benefit of associating with the pious people. One young person comes to Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah and he tells him that, O Shaykh, O Abu Ishaq, I am so addicted to sin. Tell me something that shift my attention, shift my heart away from sinning and being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah told him, I will tell you six things. I'll put upon you six conditions after that sinning will not harm you. And Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah told him that the first thing that you must do if you want to commit a sin is don't eat the rosy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you. This is the first condition. This person told Ibrahim Adham rahimahullah, how is it possible that I don't eat the sustenance and rosy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me? Where will I eat from? This is all from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he began to engage him and appeal to his conscience. He engaged him in reflection and contemplation. He said, imagine, you eat the rosy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, it picks the man's conscience. It appeals to the man's conscience. That how can I be eating the rosy of Allah and be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Said Abu Ishaq, what is the second condition? Second condition is this, that if you want to continue sinning, then don't live in the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This entire land is the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're sure to say living in the house that Allah has provided, this land and the roof above us. We have made the flooring of the land, and saqf, we have made the roof, we have made the sky. This is the home. In other words, come out from this house that Allah has provided for you from this land. He said, Oh Abu Ishaq, the Mashriq and Maghrib, the East and West, all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where can I go and commit a sin if I do not stay in this land? Then he appeals to him again, appeals to his conscience again, engages him, make him reflect and think and ponder and contemplate. said, you eat the rosy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you stay in the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are disobedient to Allah. Is that proper? Is that good? This person begins to think and realize, as I mentioned, we have to reflect, we have to think and contemplate as to what is happening. Not close our eyes and carry on with the tide where it's going. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So he told him, the third condition, what is the third condition of Abu Ishaq? He said, the third condition is this, if you want to commit a sin, if you want to stay in the, eat the rosy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stay in his land and commit a sin, then don't commit a sin. Go to a place where Allah ta'ala cannot see you. Go to a place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't see you. He said, how is that possible? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees me wherever I am. So then imagine, you eat the rosy of Allah, you stay in the land provided by Allah, and you're right in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you perpetrate sin, and you are disobedient to him. The shame and the sorrow and the grief began to mount up here in this person's heart. And his spirits now, through committing sin, became dampened now. How will I commit sin in this condition? Then he tells him, oh, Abu Ishaq, tell me what should I do? What is the fourth condition? He says, when Malikul Maut comes to you, tell him, hold on. Give me some time. I want to go and repent, make tawbah istighfar. He says, oh, Abu Ishaq, Malikul Maut will not leave me. Time of death is fixed. And when that time comes, I will have to leave this world. So he says, on what are you putting your hopes when you are sinning all the time? On what are you putting your hopes? Malikul Maut will come and take you away. How will you be saved? Thereafter he tells him, when you go into the grave, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all of us, take us with complete iman, complete forgiveness, and take us with the kalima, shahada, and complete iman in our hearts. When you go into the grave and Munkar and Nakir come to you, tell them to go away from here. Tell them to go away from here. He says, that will not be possible. He says, then what preparations have you made for answering them? Then he says, what is the sixth condition of Abu Ishaq? He says, the sixth condition is this, that when the angels of Jahannam come to you and they throw you into the fire of Jahannam, and tell them you are not going with them. Tell them I am not coming. He says, that's impossible. This was too much for that person. Ibn Adham Rahimullah made him think and realize and reflect, and he said, enough, enough. And he made tawbah istighfar, and he turned a new leaf in his life. And he turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and became the obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we hear this incident. Incident had taken place. Ibn Adham Rahimullah was in the time of Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi, to go to his majlis as well. Many, many years ago, over 1,000 years ago. Now we hear this incident. We should relate it. We should put ourselves in the same position. All of us, myself first, if I am disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am in the very same position. I am eating the rosy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am disobedient to him. And look at the type of roses that we are eating. The type of foods that come on our dasturkhans. Look at the type of foods when we go to our supermarkets. Sometimes I feel if our grandfathers were living, they may die of shock when they come and see the types of foods, the types of juices, the types of fruits, the type of things that we get to eat nowadays that they should not get in those days, maybe 50 years ago. And yet, we are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala gives us this rosy so easily, so not much effort we make, alhamdulillah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for us all these things. Allah ta'ala invites us in the Quran, فَلْيَنْظُرُ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ تَعَامِ. Ulama ikram had mentioned to you the details that we should sit and reflect and ponder over the food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Especially in this age and era, when things are sort of, things are bought from different parts of the world and they come to our shores, from different parts. Go to the vegetable shop, sometimes they say things from India have arrived. Imagine where is India and where we are. Vegetables from there, fruits from here, khajur from Makkatul Mukarramah, samzam from Makkatul Mukarramah, khajur from Madinatul Munawwara, olives from Palestine, this from Spain, olive oil from a certain place, something from Portugal, something from here, all in our dasturkhan. And the ghaibi powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are working. The unseen system of Allah ta'ala is working. Whereas even if you are told just one item, this is your water, O Muhammad, O Ibrahim, this is your water of 60 years you'll be living in the world, this is the water, look after it and use it. Is it possible for any single one of us to look after and to store any commodity that we use in our lives? If Allah ta'ala has given it to us, no. But at the proper time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends it to us in the proper manner, in the proper place, and in complete comfort and ease, we get this ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after enjoying all this ni'mat, should we be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Should we be leaving out the order of salat? Should we be abusing our eyes? Should we be doing things that are hurting the fellow Muslims? Should we be doing things that will take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Thing for us to reflect about, to think about. Ibrahim al-Alham rahimullah mentioned it to that person, not only for him, for us as well. The second thing was Allah Ta'ala has given us such a beautiful land where we stay. Look at the landscapes here, especially in Natal. We are living so green and lush. People come for holidays, as you know, from different parts of the world here. And just to enjoy the greenery around this. And some of us are living on mountains, some of us are living on valleys, some are living above by the beachfront, some of us are living by the ocean, by the river, by the lagoon. This land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not so hard that we can't even walk on it, not so soft that we'll sink in it. Allah Ta'ala has made it so suitable for us and so compatible for our living. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a beautiful place and land to live in. We should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and appreciate the ni'mat of Allah and be obedient to Him. And similarly, we cannot conceal ourselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alimun bi dhati sudur, ya'lamu sirrakum wa jahrakum, ya'lamu ma tukhfuna wa ma tu'linun. The Quran Pak is filled up with ayats of the Holy Quran to remind us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we are doing. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Over and over again Allah Ta'ala reminds us, إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You will return to Allah Ta'ala, He'll inform you and tell you about your actions. We cannot conceal our actions for us one second also from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So imagine if my father is sitting here, if my ustad is sitting here, if a buzurg is sitting next to me, will I carry out sin? Our Shaykh Rahimullah is to also engage our minds in muraqabah and say that there is somebody next to you. And the beauty contest here, Miss World is sitting in front of you, Shaykh Rahmatul Ali. These were things to deter us, to apply our intelligence and reasoning and deter us from the sins. He says the person is sitting here, once, as Rahmatul Ali mentioned, man is sitting here with a gun facing you. And the beauty Miss World is sitting there in front of you. And he says, have a look. And he's got a gun facing you. Will we look at it? Will we look? We will not look. Why? We fear this person. But we don't fear His Khalik and Malik, who has the power, is most powerful. And His power, let's open the pages of the Holy Quran and see what happened to Ad and Samud, what happened to the nations before us, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destroyed them. We don't fear Him. Here we fear a person, a human being, who starts sitting next to me, my father sitting next to me, the imam sitting next to me, and they want to abuse my eyes, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Like one person mentioned, we are in the sohbat of Allah ta'ala 24 hours after every 24. But we don't realize this. We don't make muraqabah. We don't think. We don't reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing me, is aware of my actions, etc. If we become conscious of this, we conscientize ourselves with the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's hard to carry out any sin. Some of our mashayikh should not even stretch their feet when they should sleep. When they were so conscious about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala grant us this. And this will come inshallah, we're sitting in a good majalis of good people, pious people, where Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are mentioned. So here we find that the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be trying to conscientize ourselves and create an awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me and is aware of my actions. Similarly, when the time of death will come, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. This law is for all of us. There won't be one moment of respite. And not one moment before our time, Malakul Maut will take us away. So time for repentance is now. Time for reformation is now. Time for rectitude is now, before that time comes. And when we go into the cover, Munkar and Nakir will be there to question us and ask us. And we will answer in accordance with the way we live this dunya. Allah Ta'ala lived our lives in this dunya. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us. Let's try and make some preparations. And before that time comes, when the angels of Jahannam come, Allah Pak save us, let it be said that the angels of Jannat come and tell us, Salamun alaykum tibtum fadkuruha khalideen, that peace be upon you, you have done good, enter into paradise forever and forever. So that is applies to us as well. And there is no other way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that when a person perpetrates evil, then there is no other way he can save himself. Because Allah ta'ala's witnesses are upon us all the time. Kiram and Katibin are writing our deeds. The book of deeds is being prepared. Our kitabs are being prepared. Our autobiographies are being prepared. Our life stories are being prepared. And اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. We'll find our kitabs on the day of judgment. Be told to us, read your kitab. ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. اللهم بنور رحمة الله. So cry like a baby when this verse will be recited. What is wrong with this kitab? It doesn't leave out a single action, neither small nor big. But everything is recorded. إلا أحصاها. Everything is recorded in that book of deeds. ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا. Whatever action they carried out, we'll find it before us. There, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be recorded there. يَوْمَ يَذِنْ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَالَهَا. This earth will bear testimony against us. This earth that is so stagnant and so silent, the day of judgment will begin to speak. Person carried out this action, good action or bad action, will give testimony for us or against us. And together with that, the earth will speak on that day, and together with that, our limbs will speak. So many verses of the Holy Quran bear testimony to this, that the tongues will be sealed, the hands will bear testimony, the feet will bear testimony. Sam'ahum wa absarahum, juluduhum is mentioned also. The ears will speak, the eyes will speak, the skin will speak. Such an ajeeb ayat of the Holy Quran, the skin will speak. And this is the biggest organ of the body. There's no part of the body that's without the skin, the biggest organ. In other words, all the organs, some say all the organs will speak and bear testimony against me and you. This is just in order to establish the proof. When in so many verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Allah بِغَافِرٍ أَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah Ta'ala is not unmindful. وَمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ. Allah Ta'ala knows exactly the actions that you will carry out. Allah Ta'ala is Sami, Allah Ta'ala is Basi, Allah Ta'ala is Alim, لِذَاتِ السُّدُورِ. He knows everything. يَعْلَمُ سِرَّكُمْ وَجَهْرَكُمْ. Whatever you expose, whatever you don't expose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is away. So there's no way that we can get away from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there's one easy way shown to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, who is Rahman and Rahim and Ghaffar and Sattar and Kareem. Make Tawbah and Istighfar in my court and you will be forgiven. Irrespective of what our sins may be, how many they may be, person is sincere and turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَّحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. All sins. Our Shaykh Abdul Rasul mentioned so beautifully that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's quality of maghfirat is unlimited. It's غير محدود. And our sins are limited. No matter how many they may be. Like in that one hadith mentioned that even your sins, you fill up the entire earth with sins. Your sins are filled up right up to the clouds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is unlimited. And our sins are limited irrespective of how much they are. And there are so many incidents. The easy way for us is to keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawbah and istighfar and maghfirah, forgiveness for our sins, and making tawbah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ta'ibu habibullah. Not only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sin, we become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, inna Allah yuhibbu tawabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. Allah ta'ala loves those people. Look at the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Shaykh Rafti also mentioned one beautiful hadith. He should say the crying of the people, the aminul muslimin, is more loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than zaddil musabbihin, than those people that praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, ye Allah ki Allah hone ki daleel hai. This is the proof that Allah is Allah, so magnanimous, so gracious, so merciful, that he says, kon, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah, Shaykh Rahmatullah should mention, who would like somebody to come and cry before him when somebody is praising him? He won't like that. He said, bhai, go away. Come afterwards, this man is praising me, showering me with praises. He gets happy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person that is crying here out of regret and remorse. He loves this person more than that person saying, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his tawbah. And a ta'ibu habibullah, it's the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like a person who never committed a sin. And the person's sin, let's assume a person is on the warpath against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for years. He doesn't have to make tawbah for years. Just makes a few sentences. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, famous incident when there was drought and he had gone out, a very lengthy incident, time is up, very lengthy incident, and there were 70,000 people with him. And he asked, made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajeeb words are also mentioned there that, oh Allah, we have little children with us, we have animals here, Allah, let the rain come. This drought, wahi had come down from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one person in your gathering that has been on the war path with me, that has disobeyed me for 40 long years. Till he will not separate himself, rain will not come down on this congregation. Mentioned there were over 70,000 people there. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made an announcement and made an elan and said that there's one person here that is disobedient to Allah for 40 years. Mentioned this person, looked toward the left and looked toward the right and realized that I am the person that's been addressed. And if I leave this gathering, then imagine my humiliation and disgrace and embarrassment in front of 70,000 people. And if I stay here, then how unfair of me, because of me, all these people are deprived of rain. So he says, the words are, he buried his face in his clothing. वो अपने सर को अपने कपड़े में छुपा लिया एंड ही सेज फर्स्ट ही लुक्ड लेफ्ट एंड राइट नोबडी मूव्ड एंड ही न्यू इट वाज हिम देन ही एड्रेस्ड अल्लाह सुब्हानहू व तआला ए मेरे खुदा ए मेरे आका मैं 40 साल तक आपके नाफरमान रहा आपने मुझे मोहलत दी ओ माय अल्लाह आई वाज दिस ओबीडियंट टू यू फॉर 40 लॉन्ग इयर्स एंड यू हैड गिवन मी रिस्पेक्ट रिस्पेक्ट अब मैं मुती होकर आपकी तरफ आता हूं मुझे कबूल फरमा Now I'm becoming obedient to you, O Allah, accept me. That's all it's written there. Just 3 or 4 sentences. And what happens? Torrential rain start that very moment. Urdu kitab written, goya ke mushkize khul gaye aur toot gaye. The water containers broke and start raining. Torrential rain. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, the condition was one person must be separated from here. How did the rain come? The answer was given to him, The rain has come because of that same person from whom I was withholding the rain. Because of him, the rains have come. Because of him, the rains have come. Because he's turned to me and my mercy has turned towards him and accepted his tawbah. Then Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh Allah, who is that person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Main chughal khoro ko mabghuz rakhta ho. Ab main bhi isko zahir kar do. Jab wo gunegar tha, maine isko chupaya tha. Ab jo hai na main farma bardar ban gaya. Main isko khol kar zahir kar do. He says, those people that backbite, I detest those people. When he was disobedient to me, I had concealed him. Now when he has become obedient to me, how will I expose him? 40 years of disobedience, a few sentences here, but the condition is with deep regret and sorrow, and a person will be full of shame, like our Shaykh used to say, itne bare malik ko humne naraz kiya hai. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq, it is never too late to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, we realize, our greatest enemy is sin, or those people that take us towards sin, and our greatest friends are those people that call us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, call us towards the obedience of Allah, call us towards those actions through which we'll get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are our greatest friends. And we'll realize this in the akhirah, as we mentioned, Al-Akhila, Yawma Idin Ba'dum Li'Ba'din Adu, Illa Al-Muttaqeen. That muttaqi person, he will remain your friend, even in the akhirah. Secondly, we should realize, that we should abstain from all forms of sins. And to identify sins, we should come to the mashayikh and the ulama kiram. Don't look around. As I mentioned, sometimes we find we become deceived. A person looks outwardly very pious, but because he does not know, or he has not prioritized his life, then what happens on one hand is carrying out good deeds, on the other hand is busy also with sin, etc. Sometimes he hasn't got his priorities right. Like that person who performed 20 hajj, not one of it was accepted. Why? Because he wasn't obedient to his parents. So here, our actions must be also such that we must do it in order of priority, fulfill our obligations, our duties to the people around us, and fulfill their rights, etc., and carry out. That's how our Shaykh Rahmatullah used to say, his main theme used to be this, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, leave out all sins, those that are zahir, those that are batin, those that are obvious, that are open, and those that are not open and concealed, leave out all sins. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that save yourself from haram, you will become the greatest worshipper. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah used to mention, that carry out your faraiz, your wajibat, your sunnat mu'akkadah, and even if you can't carry out any nafil, save yourself from sin. Save yourself from disobedience for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, that har saans ko Allah par fida karo, ek saans bhi Allah ki narazgi mein na guzaro. Not even one breath must be spent in a state where Allah ta'ala is displeased with you. Other words, save yourself from all forms of sin. Another incident comes to mind of a youngster in Bani Israel, mentioned about him that Musa alayhi salatu was salam got wahi, that some person had passed away. Kitab al-Tawwabin, this kissa all mentioned, that one of my friends have passed away, go and perform his janaza. So Musa, and take those people that are also sinful, that are very sinful, take them with to participate in the janaza, I will forgive them as well. Sometime we go and participate in the janaza of a pious person, we are fulfilling the haq, we are getting the right of the sawab of one qirat, equivalent to Mount Uhud. But together with that, inshallah, it becomes a means of our forgiveness because of the piety of that person. So here, those people that are sinful, take them with. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam announces, a whole group of people come. And when they come to this person and come to this, they say, Musa alayhi salam, this is the same person. This is the same youngster. Because of his evil actions, we have taken him out of our vicinity in our area. This is the very same person. So he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh Allah, this is the sinful person. He says, yes, what they are saying is correct. He says, this person, when the time of death had come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is waiting for a person. no matter where he is and what condition he is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is not closed on the person at any time. With his life, there's hope. He says he was in the wilderness, and when the time of death came, he looked towards his left and right. He found no companion. He found nobody to share his grief. And he says thereafter, he turned his eyes toward the sky. He began to address me. And he said, "Oh Allah, I am one of your servants. From all your servants, I am one of your servants. I'm here in this strange land here. I'm here in isolation. I'm here in loneliness. And oh Allah, if I knew that punishing me will extend and increase your kingdom, and if forgiving me will restrict your kingdom and will decrease your kingdom, then I will not ask you for forgiveness. Otherwise, I know that if you punish me, it will not make any difference to your kingdom. If you forgive me, it won't decrease your kingdom. If I knew, then I wouldn't have asked you for forgiveness. But oh Allah, I have nobody besides you. I have nobody besides you. Koi panah gah nahi mere paas. I have no place of refuge. And I have placed all my trust upon you, O Allah. Do not let me down, O Allah. I have placed my trust upon you. And I have heard in your kitab that you are Ghafurur Rahim." And then he passes away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Musa alayhi salam and tells him that when he pleads to me like this, was it behoving me that I reject my servant and leave him out when he was in his loneliness and he had no friend and no companion, and he turned towards me? And then it's mentioned, Allah ta'ala says, "By my majesty and by my honor, if this person had asked me to forgive all the sinful people on the face of the earth, I would have forgiven them. Because iski be basi ki wajah se, aur be dost, because he had no companion, and he was a state where be basi ki halat bhi tha, he was completely weak. When he asked me in that plight, in that condition, if this was his plight, I would have forgiven every single person that was sinful on the face of the earth." So this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should never despair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me and all of us tawfiq to realize that we still have a chance in this dunya. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our shaykh used to say, so easy to become the wali of Allah. So easy to become the wali of Allah. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqoon. Those people that brought iman, who are the walis? Brought iman, wa kanu yattaqoon, and they saved themselves from sin. They saved themselves from sin and carry out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon us. And should always also sing the share of Khaja sahab, that this is such a relationship, ek bar tute, such a relationship, said, of love, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it breaks once, then we should mend it again. And if it breaks again, we should mend it again, and we should keep doing this. Keep doing this, the kushti and our kushti will carry on with shaitan. Sometimes he will win us, sometimes we will win him, but we should not give up. This is the beauty part. Somebody asked Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, how do you stay upon taqwa all the time? He said, very simple, it's like wudu. Person's wudu breaks, he makes another wudu, and he's on wudu again. This person's taqwa breaks, he fell into sin, should save ourselves from sin, fall into sin, then aakar ke Hazrat Rahmatullah say, itna roho, ki bas phir rona band ho jaye. Once you know, then you must know, itminan karo, Allah ne aapko maaf kar diya hai. Jis ek bachcha rota hai, baap kehta hai, baap bachche ko bas ab bas karo. So when you stop crying, you must be assured, inshallah, that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq, keep us with iman, keep us also with the ta'alluq, that we have ta'alluq with the mashayikh, ta'alluq with the ulama-i kiram, ta'alluq with the pious places. These are the places that will save us in this age and era from all forms of fitna. The person sits together and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's a majlis of zikr, there's also a majlis of zikr. We are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you're making the la ilaha illallah zikr, or you're sitting where the kitab is being read, or you're sitting where mashwara is being made. These are all gatherings for the fikr of deen. And here we find the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend. And inshallah, if we frequent this majalis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save us from the fitnas that are around. Today there are great fitnas. One is the sins that we see around us, and one is the sins in the aqidah that is coming into the ummah nowadays. People do not know who is a proper Muslim. This sin is even worse than all the other outer sins that we see. Even worse than stealing and drinking and zina, etc. Why? Because this sin of aqidah takes a person out of the fold of Islam. This is the real munkar that takes a person out of the fold of Islam. And good people are becoming victims of these things that are happening around us. Why? They can't discern between right and wrong, between haq and batil, between jais and najais. That is why this is even a greater time now to remain glued up to the ulama-i kiram, to the mashayikh, to the elders, and seek their guidance in all matters, especially in our matters of aqidah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep us with iman and take us with iman, and make our hashar with our pious people. Akhir da'wan, alhamdulillah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين ونجنا برحمتك من القوم الكافرين يا العالمين. يا إله العالمين ہم سب کا تمام صغیرہ کبیرہ گناہ کو تو معاف فرما، سب کو تیرے نیک بندوں میں شامل فرما. یا اللہ تمام قسم کو گناہ سے بچنے کے ہم سب کو توفیق نصیب فرما، ہمت نصیب فرما، ہم کو، ہمارے لیے بچے کو، بھائی بہنوں کو اور پورے امت محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو ہر قسم کے گناہ اور نافرمانی سے بچا. یا اللہ ہر سانس کو یا اللہ تیری فرما بردار میں گزارنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما اور ایک سانس یا اللہ تیرے نافرمانی سے بچا. یا اللہ جو گناہ ہو گئے یا اللہ تو معاف فرما، آئندہ ہم سب کی حفاظت فرما. یا اللہ صغیرہ کو بھی معاف فرما، کبیرہ کو بھی معاف فرما، عربی بچوں کو معاف فرما، بھائی بہنوں کو معاف فرما اور پورے امت محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی پوری پوری مغفرت فرما. سب کو تیرے نیک بندے میں شامل فرما، اخلاص استقامت نصیب فرما، ولایت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے مشائخ کے ساتھ، یا اللہ اس کے سلسلے کے ساتھ ہم سب کو مضبوطی کے ساتھ وابستہ فرما. یا اللہ ان کے طریقے اور طور کو اختیار کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما، ان کے نقش قدم پر چلنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. ہمارے شیخ رحم اللہ جو دنیا سے رخصت ہو گئے اس کے درجات کو بلند فرما، جنت الفردوس میں اعلیٰ مقام نصیب فرما. جتنے بھی ہمارے مشائخ دنیا سے جا چکے یا اللہ سب کی قبر کو منور فرما، درجات کو بلند فرما، ہم سب کا خاتمہ ایمان کے ساتھ فرما. یا الہ العالمین ہم سب کا، یا اللہ ہم سب کو، یا اللہ ہم سب کو قبول فرما، اللہ ہم سب کو قبول فرما. اللہ کسی کو بھی محروم نہ فرما. اللہ ہم سب کو عافیت فی الدارین نصیب فرما، عزت فی الدارین نصیب فرما. اللهم انا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وانت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة الا بالله. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، تب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. وصل اللهم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين.